the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send the WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association by the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection. Now, what is happening in terms of cricket? Yes, lots happening. I was at Kensington Oval today. We streamed the finals in the under 15 competition, and what a performance by Shaquan Mason, making 103, having picked up 5 wickets, and Christchurch Foundation in a pretty strong position against Corrigan Parry. 127 to Corrigan Parry, to which the Foundation team won 83 for 7. The game continues tomorrow. And really a tremendous performance from Mason, and he must be quite a happy man. In terms of the Rising Stars under 19 competition for the women, we're going to start there because Barbados actually did extremely well, with Ebony Braffitt making 135 to be the star on the day. But an unfortunate situation in terms of an injury. So we hope that everything is all right with the young lady. What we're going to do without any further ado is to go to Antigua and speak to the manager of the Barbados team, Nicola Graves. And I think she's got Ebony Braffitt with her as well. So first of all, good evening to you, Nicola. How are you?
Good evening. I am well. And yourself?
I'm okay. How is Antigua?
Quite hot, actually. Yeah. But it's good.
It's good. All right. You got Ebony with you?
No, please. I have the captain, Tiani.
Oh, Tiani Herb. Okay, good. Fine. And of course, we're going to be speaking to our good friend, Cassata Cupid, who is the Minister of Sports in St. Vincent, because we want to get an idea as to what happened as far as those three matches are concerned. Now, Ebony Braffitt did an extremely good job in making 135, but there's great concern in Barbados about her because she sustained an injury. What's the latest, Nicola?
Well, she visited the hospital to have an x-ray done, and there's no fractures, no broken bones. Mm-hmm. So we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm, I see. So what happened? Talk us through what happened. She had made 135, put Barbados in a strong position. She got this injury while fielding.
Yes, well, fielding in the second innings, she was trying to stop a ball from going to the boundary. And in doing so, when she dived, she landed on her left shoulder.
Awkwardly, yeah. It's tremendous pain. I'm sure at that stage, there would have been a great concern, Nicola.
Yes, there was. There honestly was. Mm-hmm. So as a precaution, they assessed her and they didn't feel any deformities, but it was just a precaution to get her to go to the hospital to have some imaging done.
Okay, see, and the hospital pretty close by the ground, or you had to travel?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And you got immediate attention there at the hospital?
I would say so. Mm-hmm. quicker than most.
Quicker than most, yes. Well, of course, if she had to go to the accident emergency around the Caribbean, well then, it would no longer be an emergency because nowadays it takes so long. So where's Ebony now, though?
She is currently resting in her room.
Resting in the room, and she's feeling better?
Yeah, she's feeling better than she did initially. Okay. So, like I said before, we are very hopeful.
And when do you play again?
We play again tomorrow morning. Yeah, tomorrow morning against Jamaica at Liberta, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. You got the captain with you. Tiani Herbert, how are you this evening?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. You must have had a little bit of a scare when Ebony got that injury.
Yeah, it was a bit of a worry in my mind, but I know she's a strong girl, so I was always hopeful.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, she's resting comfortably. I'm sure that Barbados will be breathing a huge sigh of relief, because when we saw her, we were watching the stream, we were very concerned about it. And like you and the other members of the Barbados contingent, I'm sure, Tiani, you're happy that things worked out well. Well, I mean, it's not as worse as we thought it would have been, and she's in good care there in Antigua, right?
Yeah, she is.
All right. Now, before you ladies go, Barbados, first game rained out, but you've had one or two impressive victories. How has it gone so far for you, Captain Tiani?
It's been great. The atmosphere in the camp has been really good. I'm just happy that the girls are enjoying themselves and enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, indeed. And a big win today.
Yeah. Well, that's also thanks to Ebony. She put a good score with the bat and pushed us over the line. So very much commended her. And all in all, the girls had a good effort throughout the field and bowling as well.
Talk me to that innings. I mean, it's not often that you play in a game, 20 overs, and you make 135. Tell us about the innings from Ebony.
Well, when I got out there batting with her, I just kept telling her to just like push through, keep rotating. And then after she got her 50, I told her to reset, start over and keep going on. I told her one of us have to bat all the way through, and she did what she was told, and she helped the team tremendously.
Mm-hmm. I see. And in terms of possibly winning the competition, you didn't play in your first match. I think Trinidad are in front in terms of points. Am I right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you got a big game tomorrow?
Yeah, we play Jamaica tomorrow.
Where are you going to be playing? What? Which ground in Antigua?
Liberta.
Oh, do you like Liberta?
Well, that's the game that rained out, so we didn't really get a chance to experience the field or the pitch or anything.
Mm-hmm. Nicola, the conditions have been pretty good so far, generally. Can you tell me?
Yes, they've been good. Mm-hmm. They've been pretty good. I don't have any complaints.
No complaints at all? No bumpy outfield?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna leave it there for the time being. Just go to someone who loves women's cricket, of course, Basil Butcher Jr. We got, of course, Dr. Andrew Ford has joined us. So I don't know, before you ladies go, Basil, any questions for Nicola or for our captain?
No, I don't have any questions. I've just been watching the games, observing. You know, you've asked them, they've answered the basic questions, you know. So no, I don't really have anything to comment. And I saw it, and I would advise she don't dive again. She needs to learn to dive.
Oh dear!
So please tell her don't dive again. Mm. Let the ball go for four, so she can live.
What advice coming from Basil Butcher Jr. Dr. Ford is with us. We've got the ladies in the house. Barbados have played pretty well. Of course, Barbados dominate generally at this level. Dr. Ford, any questions for manager or captain before they go?
Well, good night to the panel and to listeners. I guess for the manager, what are the expectations for the team based on how it's performed thus far and looking ahead in the tournament?
Well, the expectation is definitely to win. I expect them to win tomorrow, and I believe that our following match against Trinidad, that would be a tough one, but I expect to win that one as well. I believe we will bring home the trophy again.
Mm. I believe the camaraderie and the team spirit is what you'd like.
Oh, of course. Good. Of course. Of course. We are one very old machine.
But when the tournament is finished, what would you like to see in place to help to keep the girls together and to develop them? If you were to get your wish where the team is concerned.
I think what's happening now is that there's still practice sessions every week. These girls train together currently. Well, before the tournament, and they're training now, and I believe they'll be training together after. So, some of them will go back to school, but they're no stranger to each other, and that's pretty much it. Everything is going well. Everything is in place that I would like to see.
Thanks.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Just before you go, I see Roland Butcher. Roland, you got something to say to the ladies?
Yeah, I just want to say hello to Nicola. I haven't spoken for a while, and just wish you all the best of luck in the rest of the tournament. And we will catch up soon and have a much more in-depth conversation.
Hi, Mr. Butcher. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Thank you so much.
Very formal in saying Mr. Butcher. Of course, a former director. I like that. I don't have that in a long time. We just call him Rolling Up in East Point. And there's also a nickname for him that I wouldn't tell you. But just before you go, Nicola, so Barbadians are quite happy we were concerned. Just to confirm that Ebony, well, we know she had an injury, but she's resting comfortably. She went to the hospital and everything should be okay. You reckon she'd be able to play tomorrow, or you're not quite sure?
I'm not quite sure at this time, but it is better than what we thought it would have been.
I see. And Tiani, good to have you on Mason and Guests. What are your expectations? So far, so good for Barbados. How has the experience of captaincy gone for you?
It's been good. I've not had a bad experience. The girls really enjoy playing together, and I'm grateful that I can lead them playing in this tournament. So it's been good.
Here in Barbados, do you just play cricket full time, or you work otherwise? Or what do you do outside of cricket, Tiani?
I actually go to school, so I don't spend most of my time in Barbados. I go to school in England.
Okay, so what are you studying? Tell me.
Well, I do college. I do sixth form at college, so I just study like sports and health management, biology, like normal subjects.
Okay. So after you finish this tournament, what, you go back to England? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I go back to school and finish the term at school and prepare for exams.
Okay. Do you want to make cricket a career, or are you maybe looking at other options?
Yeah, I would love for cricket to be my career, but, you know, anything can happen, and you always have to have a backup plan. So
backup plan. I'm sure that Dr. Ford, yes, Roland.
Andrew, I think Ebony is being too kind with you. She needs to let you know that she's at a top cricketing school in the UK, Scarborough College.
Okay.
And they play a lot of cricket, and she is one of the star players. Yes. And they like her very much, because I know the principal very well.
And you speak to the principal, Roland?
Regularly.
Okay, yes. Good. I hope you put in good words for her, because
I don't have to. She's done all that herself.
Yeah. Just before you go, Doctor. Interesting that Tiani Herbert, the captain, is in England studying, and I'm sure you wish her well, Doc.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like her to give her the short version of the facilitation, how she was able to get it done, because I'm sure there
are
many of the young ladies who aspire to. To be where she is and to have that opportunity.
Well, I think that's the BCA's part. I was selected with a couple other girls, and I just went down there and showcased my talent. And luckily, they wanted me and they offered me a chance to be at that school and further lengthen my education. So I'm very grateful for that.
So this was the BCA, and was Mr. Stafford involved in it, or this was just the BCA?
So I was told that yes, and also Mr. Proverbs and stuff, and Shakira. So
right.
I'm just happy that they got my name out there, and I just did what I had to do to secure my spot.
Yeah, Andrew, I don't think we give the BCA enough credit. We see them doing things, and we know about local cricket and the challenges, but I mean, they definitely care about.
Oh yes. There's no question about that. Yeah.
Boys and girls to have a chance at an education and to play cricket. So, I mean, with the little resources that they have, I think that they're going in a positive direction.
Very positive. Definitely. Very positive indeed. Final question to you, Tiani. No doubt you're looking to bring the bacon home for Barbados again.
Yes, I am. The girls are in a very good position, so I'm hoping that we can seal the deal and bring back home back-to-back trophy for you guys.
Good. We'll be looking forward to that. Are you enjoying Antigua otherwise? Outside the cricket?
Yeah, it's been great. I've seen some people that I've known from coming here in the past. So it's really good to catch up and see other friends from other areas.
Okay. Have you been to any of the beaches? They claim they have more beaches than they really do. My good friends in Antigua. Have you been to any of the beaches?
No, we haven't got a chance. We've been playing cricket most of the time. So we're just focusing right now on the cricket.
Right. Final word with you, Manager Nicola. What do you have to say to Barbados? They're listening to you on Mason and Guess.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for your support and keep rallying behind us. We definitely need it. And our intention is to bring home the trophy for you.
All right. Thanks, Nicola. Thanks to you, Theani Herbert, captain. And we are very, very happy that Ebony Brathett, who made 135, but got an injury, went to the hospital, and she's doing much better and could very well play tomorrow. Thanks, ladies, for taking the time out to talk to us on Mason and Guess.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to you indeed. Thanks to you indeed. And certainly we hope to hear from you again. Thanks very much indeed. All right, so I think they've gone. All right, so Mason and Guests, broad in association with our very good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
The winning song.
All right, thanks very much indeed. Arsenal Speaks, the man in the chair. Just before we bring in our good friend Roland Butcher, I don't know what part of the world he is. He tends to go all over the world. Maybe he's in Egypt. He could very well be in, you know, Nigeria. We just don't know. He could be at the White House with Donald Trump. We're going to speak to him very, very soon. But just before we do that, let's go to St. Vincent and the Grenadines, because as you know, they had three matches over the weekend and the crowds were pretty good. Kasasa Cupid, the Minister of Youth, Sports, Culture and Creative Industries, joins us. I know he's a very, very busy man, but we couldn't go without speaking to him. Hello to you, Mr. Cupid. How are you this evening, sir?
Hi, good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to the panel. Good evening to the listeners, viewers. I'm doing pretty well. The games here were pretty exciting. Probably with the exception of the Saturday game, they were very, very competitive. And we look forward to greater things in store in partnering with CPL going forward.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, of course, I know that Basil and the others will want to ask you some questions. But my first question, were you happy with the crowds for day one, day two, and day three generally?
On Friday, which was the first day, the crowd, in my opinion, I thought you'd have had a greater turnout.
Mm.
But as the games followed, the crowds grew, and I mean Sunday's game was highly competitive. I mean Friday's game as well, but the game on Sunday was pretty high scoring between Antigua and St. Lucia, and the crowd was very enthusiastic. They were into the game, and what you realize though, we cannot discount the fact that these are three neutral games, right? And the Vincentian public is very patriotic to our own. Eh? So, notwithstanding that fact, I believe generally the turnout was relatively good. I don't know the numbers in terms of the attendees, but I believe probably would have had about close to 7,000 people in the stadium at one particular point in time.
Mm. So take us back to the first game then. In terms of turnout, you reckon you had about, 4,000 or 5,000?
Roughly, probably about that. Probably about five.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
I remind me of the capacity of the ground.
I believe the ground could probably hold up to 12,000 people.
Okay. That's a lot.
I haven't gotten the official numbers, but I believe so. Between 10 to 12.
Oh, I see. All right. Basil, any questions for the minister? Yeah, I know he's a busy man. Anything you want to ask him?
Yeah, let me just first again let me say good evening to the panel, good evening to your listeners, and good evening to the minister.
Good evening.
I think the St. Vincent did a great job because, as you correctly stated, it's neutral teams. And, you know, I think they had to get warmed up from Friday. Those who
missed
Friday's game, Mr. a doozy, if you would say. You know what I mean? We all saw six runs, six balls. Never thought to come down to the final ball. And then one of the best fielders missed fielding. So they missed the drama, and I guess that got around and people showed up after that. I think Mr. Minister, would you think that is it is a good preview in the event you guys get the franchise?
Yeah, I believe we would have done justice to our viewers, the audience, the spectators, and most importantly, CPL and the players, because the wicket was very true in terms of how it played. The outfield was in fantastic shape. The maintenance of the facility. And I believe we would have showcased ourselves extremely well, not just to CPL and our viewers, but to the entire world, really, because CPL has about 1 million+ viewers, and this goes all over the world. So I am pleased from a country standpoint in terms of our ability to showcase our talent, our facility, our island to a lesser degree too. And I am very pleased with the way in which the matches really turned out and the response from the public, because the responses have been very positive, and persons are looking forward to greater things from us next year.
Doc?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Minister.
Doc, any questions for the Minister? Minister Cupid?
Well, I'd like to ask the Minister, what would be the economic responsibilities of his government in making a franchise in your island a reality?
What is the... I didn't hear the first part, though.
Economic responsibilities of your government in order to make a franchise a reality?
To be quite frank with you, we haven't had major discussions into discussing the cost to the government of the franchise. Yeah, we've had these discussions yet.
You don't have to give me numbers, but just give me what's the role of the government.
We have to provide basic security. We have to ensure that the facility is already prepped, and hosting three neutral games. CPL basically was in total control of the facility. And that was part of the staging agreement we had with them. In addition to the security service, we also had to take care of healthcare. Healthcare, as you know, is extremely important in the event that anyone gets injured. So some of those are some of the basic requirements and the responsibility of the government. In addition
But you do agree that if you have a franchise, it would be an escalation.
Yes.
Economic output from your government.
Having a franchise, obviously you would incur greater financial responsibility, quite naturally. And I mean, you're basically encountering a partnership with CPL and the and the franchise as well too. So
talking from speaking with other islands who have franchises, do you think that this will be a net positive on the books, or is it more about the exposure and
it's a combination.
You know, benefits that your country will have. Do people say to you that you're gonna benefit, that you can see it in a, let's say, you know, if you were to do some accounting, or is it just, you know, something good for the country?
Yeah, I believe there a number of economic benefits to be derived.
Yeah, but what are people saying? Is it investment or is it a return?
Well, it depends on which side of defense you're really on to.
For the government.
Yeah, but everybody has their own views. I mean, some may put up even a political spin on it too. So, but I am basically trying to exclude the political side of things. But I'm looking at
the economics minister.
Yeah, well, I have training in economics too, so I'm gonna speak from the financial standpoint.
So I can distill the question to saying that does having a franchise in your island redound to an economic benefit that can be shown on the balance sheet from the research done? That's the question then.
What we try to do as a government, right? We look at the social benefits as well, right? And
economics. I know social is, yeah, it's exposure, yeah. It's goodwill, yeah. It's young people being there. It's, you know, you can put all sorts of good things.
Yeah.
I'm saying there aren't good things, but I'm just talking economics now.
Based on the economic assessment that CPL has done over the years, They expect whatever amount is invested, the returns would be in excess of 10 times greater than the initial investment. So from a pure economic standpoint, that to me is definitely a worthwhile investment as far as I can see. Thanks. Just dealing with raw numbers, raw data.
Doc, does that answer satisfy you? You don't seem convinced.
I can tell when to move on to another topic.
Doc,
I think I've pressed enough here. But I understand what he is trying to say here. But it's just that I think. The public needs to understand the, you know, we have franchises in other islands reality, because there may be people out there who think that an economic windfall in such an endeavor, but we do know that some of it is intangible.
And quite naturally.
And, you know, but you can't measure it.
Yeah, but not
it. It does. Uh-huh. It's good for all the islands, I guess.
Yeah, but you see, the public may not be aware of those intangible benefits to be derived from the host country too.
Well, I think they've heard it enough from various members of government in other areas. So
well, they know well about if that. If they pay attention to the news and to detail, they would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just before you go, Minister, so there's a possibility that there may be a franchise in St. Vincent pretty soon. Is that what you're trying to communicate to us?
What we trying to do, though, because we would have hosted these three neutral games.
Right.
We wanted to see what appetite is there for the general public to.
Okay.
How they would have received. How they responded to these three games, and from all accounts and reports, CPL is pleased. They were extremely pleased last week when I came on. I think Peter Miller was there,
yeah,
on the program, and he even went out on a limb and said, this is the best LOC he has. He walked to it.
Oh, really?
And yeah, man. Mm. I know you have the clip too.
I want you to send that clip to me, please.
we take a lot of pride in our ability to really execute, and our team did an extremely fantastic job in executing this event. A lot of people they see the end result, but they don't know the amount of hard work that goes into preparing and really getting a lot of the logistics organized and a lot of the operations to execute a tournament of this, games of this magnitude. And there are persons who compared who worked as part of the World Cup team, and they said these three games which we hosted were more strenuous and took more out of them compared to the World Cup games in which we hosted 2 years ago.
I see. Just before you go, you said CPL very pleased. Was the government of St. Vincent pleased as well?
Yes, of course. Okay. I mean the I could speak on behalf of the government, and we're extremely pleased with the turnout of our people in support. I mean, the government was involved,
right?
But more so, it was for the country as opposed to from the government being able to showcase our country on the world stage. It was more of a national event,
right?
As opposed to just the government being involved, because we try to incorporate the opposition as well.
Oh,
in terms of inviting them to the games and so forth. So we try to be as bipartisan as possible.
Did the opposition turn up? Did the five star general come?
Well,
was he in your box?
Well, No, most of them were not in our box. But
did you invite them to your box?
Yes, we did. They resorted to other accommodation.
Okay. All right. Just before you go, Minister, someone from St. Vincent, they listened to this program in St. Vincent. They said on Friday, 4,500, and Saturday, 7,003, and on Sunday, 700, a total of 19,500. Do you have those stats?
Pretty good.
Do you have those stats?
No, I don't have those stats. I'm not privy to those stats yet.
I see. No, final question. Yeah, but... you had three matches in St. Vincent. Did it cost the government an arm and a leg to partner with CPL to get those matches on?
No, in my opinion, it's the investment. In the games, in my opinion, is reasonable. And what is beneficial to us, though, that the country gets some level of return,
right,
from our investment, which is greater than our initial investment. And based on our calculations, we'd have done better than break even.
Oh, really?
As Doc said earlier too, is some of the intangible benefits that we would receive from hosting these games too, that are immeasurable currently, and hopefully as years go by we would see those intangible benefits translate into tangible benefits.
I see.
So that we could measure them.
All right. Well, I want to thank you.
I'm pleased.
I'm pleased. Roland, anything for the minister before he goes? He's a very busy man. He's got to get that tape for me, and he's got also to get some figures in terms of costs. So he's got a big responsibility.
All I would like to do is just say good evening to the minister and let him go.
Right. Good evening.
Get on with the business.
But Minister Cupid, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Mason and Guest. And don't forget to send the tape.
you have it in your locker, man.
All right. All the best, sir.
All right. Take
Wonderful
care.
Indeed. Right. So there's the minister.
Right.
Very much a part of the Mason and Guest family. As usual, Dr. Ford has some rather certain questions there. Basil, you think the minister did well in answering Dr. Ford?
Dr. Ford did not get the answer he wanted. And had you not interjected, Dr. Porter would have continued his interrogation. And you know when it comes to the economic matters,
yes,
we always leave that to Dr.
Yes,
Porter.
That's
the area of great expertise.
Yes, indeed.
Always the bottom line. The bottom line.
And then of course Basil, you had Roland Butcher telling the minister goodbye. Roland, you're a naughty man. Roland, you're a very naughty man.
Roland is a good gambler. He knows when to fold.
Indeed. Roland, as Philo Wallace is about to join us, what part of the world are you, Roland? We haven't had you on Mason and Guest for a while. Where are you?
Well, you haven't, Andrew. And first of all, good evening to all of your guests and listeners. I'm still in England, and that's where I've been. I was in Barbados recently, Andrew. I was there for the Sir Garfield's funeral. It was a short visit, but I was there.
Did you call up Dr. Ford?
I didn't get time to call Dr. Ford. It was short.
So the answer is no then. But I didn't say so. All right. So what have you been doing? You've been doing some commentary, I understand.
Yeah, I've been doing some ICC stuff in Europe. Doing lots of writing and planning stuff for, we've got a couple of things happening in Barbados today, the CPL.
Yes.
First of all, my wife's memorial service, and then the CPL Trident's Trust Day the following day. So while I'm here, I'm still working in Barbados.
So when is that service? Can you tell us when and where?
Yeah, the service will be the 9th of September, 2:30. Christ Church Parish Church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the game will be at Kensington on the following day, the 10th.
Okay, I see. How are you holding up though, Roland, since the death of your wife?
Andrew, boy, I can tell you with great difficulty. It is not something that you ever plan for or know what it's like. So you can't say you've walked that road before. Basically, you don't look any further than the day you're in. So you get through today and see what comes tomorrow. That's how it is.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah. Well, we
I suspect that's how it'll be for a long time.
Yeah, well.
She was a special lady, and I do miss her very much.
Yeah, well, we will certainly give you as much support as possible on Mason and Guest. And, of course, Barbados will do that as well. Gentlemen, the West Indies team, Philo Wallace, joins us. They've got to go through the qualifiers for the ODIs. I mean, they had an opportunity, of course, to beat New Zealand. Your reaction to this, though, Roland Butcher, are you disappointed that we've got to go through the qualifiers?
Well, listen, Andrew. Before you get to the point where you are either in the tournament or you're out the tournament, it means that you have played quite a number of games.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have not performed in those games, then that's what happens when it comes to this stage. Obviously, West Indies did not get the results that they wanted, and they find themselves in a very difficult situation.
Mm.
You've got a couple of teams that will qualify for the World Cup because they're the hosts. So South Africa and Zimbabwe automatically gets a place. And really, Bangladesh and Afghanistan would have been the area that West Indies would have been looking to get one of those places, but Bangladesh and both Afghanistan are in the main draw, so West Indies have got to go and do it the hard way, trying to get through the qualifiers.
Oh dear.
Well, it's not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy. Doc, you want to react to this? I mean, they seem to always want to do it the hard way, West Indies, Doc?
Oh, well, I think we were realistically aware that this would have been the case. I mean, the need to change the fixtures in order to give us an opportunity, which would have been a mountain to climb at this late stage against the opposition that we encountered just recently in the home series. I think the guys were happy prepared to be able to come through in the repechage here. And but the thing is, just looking at the reality of Afghanistan, well, we can understand Zimbabwe being in, but Bangladesh, it really helps to keep us honest as to where we are in that format. And, you know, we know that we have to improve, but I must say that I've seen some signs that give me hope, and I've seen some the effort, and you know, the batting is improving. We put up some pretty good scores most of the time, but we're still so reliant on Shea to give us a decent score. And once we collapse, as we do sometimes, it doesn't work out well. But the team looks promising, and I'm not you know, I'm not ashamed of the team. I think the team is a team that can build and become something in the future. So I'm hoping they'll be able to get through the repechage and be in the main tournament.
Yeah, 44-790, the lines are open. You can give us a call. Philo Wallace joins us. Just before Philo comes in, well, we're listening very much there in St. Vincent, and we can tell you the investment by the government is $1.5 million. That's what was in fact sent to me. So we didn't quite get figures from the minister, but someone listening said, I'm listening, and the investment from the government, $1.5 million. So I don't know if that's we can go with that, but you know, these things happen. It's what a time to welcome a millionaire, Philo Wallace.
Is that US or is that
EU? US? $1.5 million US. That's a lot of money. Of course, when the minister comes back and gave me the tape and the figures, we'll be able to confirm. Philo, what a way to have you amazed and guess. The investment possibly of the government there, $1.5 million. Have you heard any of those figures, Philo?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your panel. You know, share Carlos. 1.5 million for 3 games is a lot of talk, Andrew. I was listening on my way home because I had some stuff to do today late. You know, serious matters are coming up, and I really wanted to ask the minister what how big a tourism product was it?
Yes, good question.
How many tourists he talked with have visited to visit in Grenadines for those 3 matches? But he's not with us. Andrew, West Indies not qualified automatically for another ICC tournament is another bitter pill to swallow. We are accustomed of getting into ICC tournaments without having to qualify, but we have to qualify. And the qualifiers are known except for 5 others. My thing with our West Indies cricket, Andrew, is if I don't understand if they are aware or they understand that they have to win cricket matches to qualify for ICC events.
Yes.
We have to qualify for ICC, win matches to play the 50-over World Cup, ICC T20 World Cup, even the Test Championships, you have points. And I want to, we don't hear our head coach, nobody digs into him about these things. Mm-hmm. But how is he planning our cricket to get into to qualify automatically for these ICC events? Because I hear Roland saying that we are improving. I know Hope is our captain, but I don't see much improvement when we keep losing.
Oh,
no, Roland, that was Doc.
Said we're improving.
Oh,
but he's a facial man, so the facial features might have improved. But our cricket cannot be improving if we're losing all the time. You see, we're getting sporadic performances and we're saying we're improving.
We're not losing as often as we lost in the past. And the thing is,
the defeats are a little closer.
I mean, we put up some good scores at times, but I mean, we did collapse a lot of times. And you know, when Carty and Hope didn't make runs, we tended to struggle because Rutherford and the others didn't really come through. So, I mean, it's about consistency. We need to find, you know, good openers to give us a good start, but we don't have a shot bowler that can come and really make an impactful effect on a team that's chasing. And there are some parts of the team that are missing, but I mean, I think considering all the times that we've had to qualify in the past, I've seen that this team does look a bit more There's a bit more hope for this team than some of the other teams.
Hope is captain. I am not dealing with hope. I'm dealing with that us going out there performing and winning cricket matches. This hope all the time. Hope, we don't start hoping. We have to start to get these players to understand performances matter. Now you talk about if Carty and Hope share hope the captain don't score runs. Rutherford has been misfiring in the ODI team for a little while and still playing. We have not tried anybody new to see what they can do. But we don't ever have a 50-over competition this year, so there's nobody to try. But if you dig deep, if you could try Lords out of the blue, you could try somebody out of the green.
I've been calling for to play a part in West Indies cricket. Kevin Wickham, I think, longer form cricket, 50-over cricket. I mean, there's talent there. We have to really look and see who can be there and who can be consistent. But I don't think the team has disgraced itself in spite of us.
It's not disgraced, though. It's just that going into qualifying to play against Scotland and Holland, and those teams gives you a rash on your skin.
We have to qualify.
If we qualify for a four straight year, you can tell me that we're improving too. We can't be improving if we're going to keep qualifying for an international tournament. You can tell me that other Barbadian teams that don't go to international events are improving in sports.
Well, I can see that the constituents of the team look like international creators. I am not disillusioned. I haven't thrown in the towel on the 50-over team for sure. I would say that the test team has its limitations and can only go so far. I would say that the T20 team, well, because of the construct of and the brevity of the format, anybody could do anything at any time once you can last five overs. But I can see some movement in the positive direction, and I think Laws is a big move in terms of trying to get that bowler that would have the unquestionable action on Leg Narayan and can do something in the future. I can see, that was a brave and a useful move, and I applaud the coach for that move. But we have to look for some other.
Yeah, but you're called. But you also said you would like to see Wickham. Why can't we make that move too?
Well, we gotta go through some of the others. Obviously, Jangu has got is ahead of Wickham, and we have to let things work. You have to let it work itself out. I'm hoping that I would like to see that someone who's on the fringes in a home tournament or in any other series without. We do not have a way of developing players. I think we need to carry bigger squads and have people working with the team to. For the coaches to work with them, we don't have a way of developing the players. So Wickham should be going around with the teams and being looked at, because we've seen the stats. We know who the fringe players are. Why can't the fringe players travel with the team? Why can't that investment be made if we don't have?
It's called money. I think that what needs to happen or should be happening now is that the fringe players should be on high performance training.
Right.
You don't have a high performance center.
In a high performance center to have high performance training. I say high performance training. You don't need a high performance center,
But who's gonna oversee and make sure a player?
Now you're coming around what I'm going to get at. You have six franchises with six head coaches from those franchises who all report to the head coach Darren Sammy and DOC, Buzz Bascom, and ID talent scout Jamal Smith. Now, there are nine of them. Set out a high performance batting program, high performance spin bowling program, high performance fast bowling program, and get the fringe players to work in each territory under strict supervision and videotaping. And let them work three days a week, solid high performance fast bowling spin, keeping opening batting. Middle order batting throughout a 2 or 3 month period.
You're talking money with an organization who's cash strapped.
So the local territory boards have no money.
they do, but I mean they're working with local tournaments. The BCA, does the BCA's $4 million budget allow them to?
I don't know. You remember the board event?
I saw you at the last meeting.
Yeah, but I didn't. I get to understand what was being said at all. No.
I realized there was some difficulty there. The accountants took over, but we still understood that they were trying to make the best of the revenue that they had. But the truth is that the local boards, CWI, I mean, all these things need to be done. The truth is the only way it's going to work is if government puts money into it, because the cricketing groups don't have the revenue. That's a fact. But what you said makes sense. It would be great if you can have that.
Doc, I know that there will be reaction to what you and Philo are saying. What we're going to do, we're going to take a call. But just before I do that, good evening, Andrew. It's worthy to remind you that Ebony Brathwaite is also a student of Scarborough College. This is a joint program between the BCA and the Sports and Arts Fund, a government-sponsored entity. Thanks very much for that. Continue to send us your WhatsApp messages at 253-4679, and we'd be only too happy to read them. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you. How are you?
I'm fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Mason, how come that we have a big CPL tournament and there's no radio commentary?
There is radio commentary.
On this station?
On VOB. I think it's on 104.
Well, I tried 104 in the first 2 years and I didn't get it.
But I
got it because I'm on TV.
Well,
I don't enjoy TV commentary. I prefer radio commentary.
Well, I'll have to ask because I was speaking to someone here and I was, I mean, to be honest, I didn't listen, but I know that there are 10 stations across the region carrying the CPL, but let me just double check that.
When I finish my contribution, I will find out if it's on 104.
Yeah, but I'm sure someone will let me know before the program ends. And Anthony Green listens, Barry Wilkinson, yes, who's on holiday, listens. Somebody will tell me. Okay, fair enough. Move on.
Mr. Mason, that 1.something million US that you're speaking about, that is to do with the 3 matches that just was played in St. Vincent?
Well, but don't go with that, you know. Somebody just sent me that. I don't know if it's true. I mean, somebody in St. Vincent listening said that they heard it was, the investment was $1.5 million. Hold on a minute. Something is coming through. Every match is on 104.1. Listen every night. So the commentary is on 104.1 on VOB. How did you miss that, Alvin? You don't know.
I don't
know. Oh,
let me get to my point and get to 104.
Okay.
Mr. Mason? I believe you had a hand in that.
A hand in what?
I get into it.
What's
how
that?
Much it costs Barbados for those 2 games in New Zealand?
Well, that's a very good question. Philo Wallace is very close to the board.
Closer than you?
Yeah, but nobody's given me any information as far as that is concerned.
How you get information about St. Vincent?
Well, I mean, somebody sent me something which is not confirmed, you know, so don't run away with that.
I'm not speaking about confirmed.
I am with you, and I believe
I want to know
how much money was spent for the 2 matches.
I would like to know.
Philo, do you know, or Doc, or even Roland? Nobody. you do you know Philo? Philo, you tend
no,
to be
I
close.
No, I don't know, Andrew. The only board I'm close to is the one in my house. I don't know.
Why I ask, Mr. Mason? Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Why I ask, right? You listening to me, well?
I always listen to you, Alvin.
I believe that you have something to do with it.
Something to do with what?
I believe, Alvin believes.
Yes.
That you have something to do with going to Guyana and get those 2 games.
No, but no. I went to Guyana to cover the three matches, because I was in charge, as I have been for quite a long time, in producing radio on behalf of Cricket West Indies for some time now. So I went to Guyana to make sure that everything was in place and we had good coverage.
If you did not mention what money was spent in St. Vincent, no training to get international games. And if they're spending that money, we spend money here in Barbados.
Right.
And we need to get all types of things to help the cricketers at Kensington Oval.
Right.
And you don't discuss it. And the 50 million gone, 25 million US.
And you haven't heard too much about that.
And we are here. I ask you over and over, because you're talking about money in St. Vincent. Mm. I will let you start talking about money about
how much money. How much money was spent for the last World Cup in 2024?
I ask you, how much money was spent at Weymouth? You're not sure yet. And the games at Weymouth was cancelled.
Yes.
And a lot of money was spent. But
yes.
You didn't know about that, but you're going to St. Vincent.
Mm.
It's not fair, Mr. Mason. These are Barbados too.
All right.
Because we're spending more, we're wasting more money than St. Vincent.
Why would you say wasting money?
We bought $25 million for the World Cup.
Yes.
And Mr. Lynch promised us all types of things that can happen to help the young cricketers.
And you haven't seen it as yet.
And the only thing we have is a 6,000 down there at Western Hope. And you have a good night.
All right, thanks very much indeed. Several people want to get in. We're going to take as many calls as possible. Head into 30 minutes past 7 o'clock. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Hello, welcome.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Andrew, I just want a couple minutes of your program this evening.
Sure, you're live.
On the 30th of last month, I remember Basil Bassett Jr.
Yes.
Making a point. I think it was supported a little bit by you, that the decision of having Darren Sammy as the lone selector was a dangerous road West Indies was going down. And if you watch the test match in Trinidad, in Port of Spain, we had a perfect opportunity to win that series because we knew Trinidad from Memorial was a Turner's trap. We went in with one spin bowler, knowing the fact that Roston Chase could not really bowl or grip the ball that well. We had the opportunity to play the youngster Bishop. Even if we had asked Kimar Roach and going with the two fast bowlers and Bishop, we had a chance to win the match. But we went in with Sammy making the decision of playing players who were not fully fit. Justin Graves started the test match. We knew that the guy could not bowl in the match. And this is a one selector making decisions for 5 million people in Caribbean supporting cricket. It's a dangerous situation. And this is why West Indies cricket. Sometimes when I listen to Dr. Ford, he's a real patriot of West Indies cricket. Dr. Ford tries to defend his nonsense. And
Dr.
I'm not saying
Ford.
That Dr. Ford is talking nonsense. But he's trying to defend nonsense. There was an old guy when I was coming at Andrew.
Yes.
By the name of Joe Brooms.
Yes.
He made a point to me about 30 years ago. He said West Indies cricket would not be strong if the middle order is not Guyanese batsmen. And it went over my head. But as I grew older, and the names that he would have called, Robert Christiani, Basil Butcher, Joe Solomon, Clive Lloyd, Alvin Kelly-Sherrard, Shana Paul, and Sal Warren, they are all middle-order batsmen. And this guy was 30 years ahead of cricket. We are talking about the One Day Tournament, Andrew. There was a Trinidadian opener who played in the last regional tournament. I can't remember his name, but he scored 2 centuries. That guy should have been given an opportunity along with Kevin Wickham. We played Rutherford in a competition. He came off in the penalty game, but we still lose the
He's been inconsistent in recent times there, Rutherford. Yeah, what was going on with Kevin Wickham, though? I don't know. Because one would have thought that having made back-to-back hundreds, but he made three consecutive hundreds, he would have been in the mixer. But I don't know what's going on with him.
Andrew, had a perfect opportunity to give Kevin Wickham a chance.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there.
Overturn competition.
Even for the warm-up game against Pakistan, he didn't feature. What happened there?
Andrew, what
happened there, Basil? Can you tell me? You're pretty close to Sammy.
Not me. But those questions the caller is raising are some questions that I would love for the media to press on these selections. I mean, even Rustin Chase in a post-match press conference stated that intimated it was a mistake to not go with the other spinner.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and when you hear something being said like that, that something like that would make basic cricket common sense, and where Sammy is a data man, and the data tells us you're playing at Queen's Park Oval. Our visitors got it right, and included a second spinner, which played. Those two spinners were who won the game for the Pakistanis.
Yes.
Right? And we are the host team, and we go in with one spinner. And yet still, Andrew, you still hear people around the region complaining that we play in Pakistan in Trinidad and Tobago, why we couldn't play them somewhere else, etc., but not addressing the issue of picking the wrong 11 in the second game at Queen's Park Oval.
But Andrew, can I respond to Basil?
Sure.
Basil, if you go back to the test match when we played Pakistan and Pakistan, both test matches was played on the same street, the same ground.
Correct.
If we knew we were going into Trinidad, all two games should have played at the Bernard Oval, and we would have had a better chance of coming away of winning the series.
Interesting. That's true. Observation.
I mean, West Indies cricket, Andrew, doesn't belong to Darren Sammy nor the President Shallow. We know what Ernest Hillier and these guys came and did to West Indies cricket. They're right on the back of West Indies cricket. Now, Ernest Hillier is the Deputy Prime Minister of St. Lucia. We got to pull the politics out of this to get West Indies cricket right.
Yeah.
And I'll make my point here, Andrew. Because I'm not going to be calling any more programs discussing these things. So like these things that, I mean, Philo's been speaking. You, Andrew Mason, have been putting certain people under the microscope because you choose to put who you want to put under the microscope. But when you have the people to give the information, your questioning is soft. Very soft. I do my last point is the Barbados Cricket Association competition.
Yes.
That has been wrong since 1972.
Sure.
It's looking very messy, Andrew.
How?
I was told that that a club in the East lose points through a president or some member of the club leaking information to another club. Andrew, Barbados Cricket never played so. Cricket, Philo played it for 20 years. I've been wrong it now for 15 years. Andrew, you've been wrong St. Catherine for a lot of years.
Yes.
These things should not happen in our local cricket. And I'm asking the Kevin Ho administration. Because you know that you Andrew Mason, is very critical of the Kevin Ho administration.
Critical?
And you were very soft on the Condé Riley administration. I don't pick and choose. I shoot straight. I would hope that the 2027 series of BCA cricket, we get it right. The fixturing has to be right. There's no way one club should be have six home games. And teams are now using the boardroom to gain an advantage to get points to be promoted. I was at Wynwood on Sunday, and the match referee said I can call his name. I'm not going to call his name. The game with Carlton, there was no report asked from the match referee who did the game with Carlton. But Carlton moved on. That decision deflated the club. I mean, I had to go to the club and speak to the youngsters. No one wanted to play cricket afterwards. if the law was there, and we are saying the law is not an archaic law, it's a law that is there. Mm-hmm. If Carlton fall into the law, that's Carlton's fault. But how can you have match referees every Saturday coming to the ground, sitting from the start of play to the end, a team sending a protest, and no report came from the match referee? But I'm hoping then that next year we should not have match referees. Andrew, as I said, I don't want teams to be an authority on the cricketing matters, but Darren Sammy's situation as the only selector around West Indies cricket, we're walking on a very tight rope. Andrew, good evening.
Thank you.
Andrew,
thank you. Yes.
Andrew, I have a question for the panel.
Sure.
Do you think if Phil Simmons had the carte blanche like Sammy, do you think we would have been in a better place? Because in my opinion, I think so, because I think Simmons is a better cricket man. But I would like to hear the rest of the panel's views.
But let's start with the other butcher, Roland Butcher Senior. I don't know if I can say that. Roland, are you senior or are you junior?
Andrew, whatever you want me to be. But what I would say is, Andrew, listen, there is no point in going back to all them years back.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's the past is the past. It's gone, right? Okay. It's dealing with what we have now and dealing with the future. You know, you could say that if you had... you know, if you had John Dyson, would it been any better? So for me, forget what happened back there. We know what's happened, where we are now. We know how we got here. We know where we are going.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real problem. What we have at this moment in time, what is taking place, not just in regionally, but you know, we haven't all got it right in Barbados either. There's still, as Smiley said, there's still a lot to be done there.
Yeah, indeed. Just before we go back to the telephones, Roland, were you disappointed with the Pakistan West Indies series, how it ended?
Yes, because. Yes, disappointed.
Just before you answer, someone is saying Trinidad should not have hosted both test matches. Trinidad needs to change at least one of their international pitches, you know, to be conducive for seam bowling before international test cricketers play there again. So I want you also to respond to that. Roland?
Yes, sir. Andrew?
Yes, Roland.
The history of Trinidad has not been one for fast bowling. if we're talking about going back in the past, you go back in the past, you know what you got in Trinidad. You know what you got in Ghana. You know what you got in Barbados. Barbados used to have fast, quick wickets. We don't have them anymore. So maybe you should say that unless we have fast, quick wickets in Barbados, you shouldn't play any cricket either. So it is what it is. You just got to, you know, adapt to the situation. Both teams have to play on it. Pakistan got it right. We got it wrong, and that was the reality of the situation. So you can't change the venue. You know that there is. We know the reason why the two matches were played in Trinidad. It was a financial thing. You couldn't have one in Trinidad and one elsewhere because that takes the cost up. So you know there's two matches going on there. You just adapt and play to the situation. You know, selection, as you said, perhaps in that last test match was not the right one, and it proved to be the downfall of the team.
I certainly agree with you. It must be of great concern you know, in one of the press conferences, Phil Wallace, the Pakistani management said they felt at home playing in at the Queen's Park Oval. You heard that, didn't you, Phil?
Well, Andrew, there was a warm-up game at Queen's Park Oval. Obviously, the Brailler Cricket Academy was Taruba was foreign to them, but when they went back to Queen's Park, they obviously knew what conditions they were going to get. I want to get back to batsmen that question about Darren Sammy having full control. I sat on two cricket committees, and that was shot down. And I'm surprised that it was actually given the green light.
Oh, wow.
Because the dynamics of West Indies cricket don't afford for that kind of thing.
Nope.
And I will hope that cricket committee at CWI revisits that whole process. The president, Dr. Shallow, said that they will look at Sammy's stuff after the World Cup. But it's after a home series, our next assignment should be overseas. We're not going to qualify automatically for the World Cup. So I think a review of that whole system needs to be discussed and discussed manly. I think an independent body or committee of three people should do it. No one who sits on that present cricket committee. An independent committee should review that policy and put it to CWI board of directors in a real serious way. Because if you look at what England has just done, they've just told Brendan McCallum, look, you can take the white ball and 50 over, but we're going to give the red ball to another coach who brings a bit more depth, a bit more thinking, a thought process, more calmness. And I think that we in the West Indies, we deserve to see better from our coaches. We deserve better from our players. Because at the end of the day, a lot of money is being invested. And when you invest as much as West Indies have invested in cricket, you need to see returns on your investments. And with the sporadic performances that we've seen, it cannot afford it because cricket is a hard sell. I also want to actually congratulate the young lady who scored 100, Ebony scored 135 as well. She's also a terrific athlete, also a colleague. So her grounding is quite good, and I hope she can go from strength to strength. One sunshiny day doesn't make a summer. But we need to get more out of those who are responsible for cricket. Like I said, I went to a BCM board meeting, and I didn't hear the chairman of cricket development, chairman of club services, chairman of membership speak. Everything I heard in the treasurer at some sport, I heard none of the other chairmen speaking. So you have to get people who have responsibility for certain things speaking so we can understand what is happening in our cricket. One man speaking about everything, it's not good language. And I will hope that the authorities try to separate these responsibilities and let people who are responsible for certain things speak so that we can clearly understand what direction they're planning for our cricket and how that direction is being charted, the success that we're looking for. Now, there's a guy called Kevin Wickham that everybody thinks should play, but we should be hearing. Somebody should be letting us know what Kevin Wickham has to work on, what is the problems, and let Barbados help him to develop on those problems. So if there's a weakness in Kevin Wickham, we should be able to say, look, it should be identified, and he should be worked on this ahead, coach to the franchise, go past with Drake. We'll be willing to work on him, and let the public know that he's working with XYZ to iron out this problem. So it takes a village to raise a child. And I think to get a good cricketer, you need more than one coach. You need people to come and help. Mm. But we want to do everything on our own and be the world boss, and yet the world is scrambling. Our cricket is scrambling slowly but surely.
Oh, my golly.
And these are things that need to be harnessed now. Mm. Because if you look at our cricket is not going anywhere. We play cricket matches in Trinidad, because the Pakistanis and the Hinduism and the Muslimism, but nobody watching the cricket. Mm. You see, people don't have the drive for the cricket. You see them watch CPL and jump up and keep noise, but you would like to see them come and see quality test match cricket, solid cricket that people can sit down and enjoy. Mm. Don't mind it 5 days, but if cricket is played with a good skill, people will support it. And that is what Cricket West Indies and the region has to understand. Get all cricketers to play good cricket across the boards.
Well, I'm gonna come to Roland now as to what he thinks certainly can be done to really improve our cricket. But just before we go, we're gonna take a commercial break. We got some calls backed up, but just before we do that, someone from St. Vincent is saying, Andrew, a good coup for you to get Dr. Ralph Gonzalez as opposition leader on the radio to give his opinion on the success of the CPL and the idea of its cost. Oh my golly. The five-star general continues to send your WhatsApp messages. I'm going to send this one to you, Basil Butcher. I thought that one was an interesting one. Mason and guests, Broaden Association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your trowel finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in Coral Stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
Of course, we got to look forward to the CPL match. The Tridents are involved against the Kingsmen, so we're going to be in a position hopefully to tell you what's happening there. I believe the toss would be done pretty soon, so we're going to keep you updated. The game starts in 28 minutes. Of course, that's 8 o'clock our time, Jamaica 7, an hour behind the Caribbean. All right, I think we're getting something coming through now as far as that match is concerned. Kingsmen won the toss and will bowl against Barbados Tridents. So Kingsmen won the toss and will bowl against Barbados Tridents. Thanks to our good friend, Mr. Philip Spooner. Good man, certainly giving that information to me. Thanks, Philip, indeed. And, of course, Ebony Bradford is one of the leading sports women in Barbados. She's a Carifta medalist as well. So thanks to you, Philip Spooner, for that. Let's take a couple of calls, can we? Yes. Hoping to go to Jamaica to get a feel of the atmosphere there. Hoping to join our good friend, Mr. Orville Higgins. All right. Mason and guests. Hello, welcome. Hello, welcome. You're on. Oh, 441790. Hello, welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you. Is this our favorite caller from Canada?
Yes. Yeah, I've been along 6 minutes ahead of here.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Mr. Canadian.
Yeah, you can't be sorry. The next time you do that, I can send a bill to you.
Yeah, well, yes. Make sure it's only one bill and not two.
Okay, that one. But the one will cover everything. Now,
yes.
I heard, I think it's Doc, suggest now that the governments have to put money to help that. I'm going to tell everybody clear from the sound of my voice. Nobody is going to put a penny investing in cricket to be bullied. Nobody invests with bullies.
Mm.
People invest with people that can sit down, have a talk, have a discussion, decide where we're going to go, how we can look at this thing, how we can look at it. Now, all these people calling program and talking, everybody know the problem. It seems like I can go to get you, Andrew,
mm.
to book a date with me, and then you got to come down and sit down and have a chat with me.
Mm.
I think the only body in the Caribbean can get this thing to do is Mayor Amar Martley.
Mm-hmm.
That's my girl. We got to go to her.
Mm.
And I'll tell you the reason why. Now, everybody talking, and you know, Bumba said some years ago, everybody talking, but when it comes to act, they cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop talking and acting. We are going nowhere with Dami Sami. Exactly nowhere. We are reversing. Are we going down a hill with those bicycle RLP before break? We got to get rid of something. When you look at the last thing, you went in there with a lot of injured men. Hope should arrest and get a guy to play, Silver.
Right.
Says no, he was not fit. He cannot bowl. He shall not play. These are the kind of things that is going on in West Indies cricket. And as Wallace all the time, somebody got to answer. Yeah, listen, right now the Maple Leafs is playing hockey. They're winning a lot of games. The people are getting rid of them because you are going away. Look at England, getting rid of Brendan McCullough from all them positions.
Mm-hmm.
Why we continue to play with these type of people? They're not going anywhere. I saw Riffer come talking a lot of nonsense and the next day they collapse. We don't want to talk, we want action. From the time we had to qualify, they should tell Dan Sammy, thank you very much.
Mm.
It is time that we put West Indies cricket first. We stop putting people ego. We stop putting what people like in front. Next thing, we're picking the West Indies team, like we have a relationship. As Smiley said, Andrew, I tell you already, you're a little too sore.
Mm.
Then you got these guys in there, you got to call me a Smiley, and let me deal with these people for you and show you how to deal with the president.
But I want to give, can you give me one example of someone that I was soft in relation to questions? I don't need two, I just need one.
I'm not the head coach, the president. Sometimes you come there, you answer soft questions, you're going to be rough with these guys. You're going to look these people and listen, as you say, the truth can only be the truth.
So you're saying that when Dr. Shallow comes to Mason and Guests, we don't put him under the microscope enough?
No, you're going to treat them rough. Mm. Or call me or Smiley. Mm. Let me deal with them. Because we ain't begging for nothing, we ain't looking for nothing. Mm. When we look back and see...
So are you suggesting that I'm begging for something?
No, not you. Some of the other guys that you call in and ask questions, and they're going to refer to the next body.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Right, we have to refer to this body. If you come in something, come as a batsman, you know you got a bat.
Right.
You come as a bowler, you got a bowl.
Mm.
Don't come and see you left your ball home. Are you sure you can bowl today?
Right.
No. Mm. Come on the program,
right.
Be ready. Or Kelly don't come at all. These are the kind of things.
Mm. Caller, just before you go, did you come home for crop over?
No, I was not too solid. I didn't want to come for crop over. But I had too many jobs.
Mm.
So I can't give up all of them, you know.
So what do you
give everything for?
So what do you do in Canada?
What do I do?
Yes.
You mean I do construction besides DJing? Construction.
Oh, so you're a bookseller, had a lot of work to do, huh? So you couldn't make it to crop over.
Right, and then I would have to come back.
I thought you were a DJ.
Right, I DJ too. But I DJ up the Sunday on a boat, right? That's why I couldn't come too.
So you do many things then. You do many things. You're a construction man and you're a DJ.
Right, so I can't come because I was booked. I had to come too close to crop over.
Okay.
And I had to come back out the same week because they had a big boat ride. And I was the only DJ on the boat Sunday.
A big boat ride.
You know something? They got four and five, yeah.
Okay.
And they got three and four DJs, and I was the only DJ.
Okay.
So you can't give up that.
No, you can't. And you're making lots of money there in Canada?
Not as much as you. I see you all over the place, come attend it. I'm happy for you. Keep the good work.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. We're going to try to sneak some calls in. Can we take another call? 441790. Roland Butcher, do you think it's time for Sammy to go? Roland?
Listen, Andrew. If you get rid of Sammy, right, and put whoever you put there, and you do not change what needs to be changed, you've got the same problem, right? You've heard what I've said. I do not believe that one person should be in charge of any team, any three teams. That is, you know, that's something I've said from the beginning, and I will stick with that because in this modern professional game, that is too much. You cannot give each job what it's required. So at some point in time, there will be a separation, whether it's a complete separation or white ball versus red ball, there has to be because it cannot work. There's nowhere else in the world.
Right.
This has worked or people are actually trying it. I mean, so we're trying to do something that nobody else is doing because for what reason?
Right.
But you were going to ask me a question before you went to the break, right? I'm going to say it to you now, Andrew.
Yes.
And you may be shocked.
Yes.
Our cricket is going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
Yes, I'm making that point. It's going to get worse. Just take a look at our cricket. Right. How many first-class matches we play this year?
Well, Barbados played three and then they went to four.
Right. And they were the successful ones. How can you have any first-class season where you are playing three games? You cannot compete internationally on those.
In the same country too.
Right. And the other problem you're going to have.
Yes.
Why say our cricket is going to get worse? Because it's going to be a knock-on effect, right? You know, in order to play, to get a contract, to get a work permit in England, right? You have to play five first-class matches a year, right?
Wow.
So there's not a player in the Caribbean that can get a work permit.
Oh, dear. That's a very interesting point you're making there.
You just don't qualify. So cannot play in those conditions, that's going to help your game develop to help you later on. So I'm telling you, if we continue that way, I mean, we started this year, if it happens next year, Mercury, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So don't be looking for it to get better. It's going to get worse.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. But serious. Okay, let's try and take a couple of calls, can we? Arsenal Speaks, the man in the chair, tells me yes. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
Is that Randolph?
To your panel. Yes, it is, my friend.
Okay, I want to ask a question before you go on. Can you confirm whether cricket is on 104?
Yes, I've listened to all the matches so far.
But you're... But you're a fellow supporter of the same party there. I mean, what did you speak to Alvin?
Andrew, you have a budding attorney at law. Do you think
who's that? Fellow, yes.
And Dr. Ford has not gone to law school, but he's a very good. He asked a very tough question.
Yes,
and I don't know what you could imply such a thing because. You know, you're already stepping
but,
out.
But let me withdraw the
comment. I don't carry any colors.
Let me withdraw the comment, then, sir.
The only color that I carry is green. And that is in Barbados, the most beautiful Paris.
I thought it was blue. Is the support of the... Green. Okay.
Yeah, that's associated with that Paris.
Okay.
Andrew, I listened to all the matches. I thoroughly enjoyed them. Outside of that, Vikram in the game against Trinidad scored 30 out of 39.
Right.
And after the break, he drove one at water break. He drove one, was caught by the captain, Hussein. But he was batting very good because they were really in trouble.
Yes.
You know, so he was just milking it around and getting. But that expansive shot, you know, it got out. But I can agree with the fellas. I think that he should have been very much in the toss-up for the teams when they were here. Even if he didn't get into the 11, he should be around the side. Because if you can score three consecutive centuries at the first-class level,
yes.
Now, like others who would have done similarly or some of that got in, I don't see why he should not be in. Now, Andrew, those two young ladies, who are playing in the under-19 tournament. I was very impressed listening to them, two of them speaking. Well, only one because the other one is injured, but I am totally enjoying the batting of the other one who scored 135.
Ebony Brathwaite?
Yeah. And the thing is that to realize now that both of them are in England.
Yes.
They're England produce.
And
Roland was quick to tell you that the girl was a little, I think she didn't tell you much, but she's at a very good school, and, you know, because of her ability.
Right.
So it means that our Barbados selection, along with West Indies, if they continue, they should have two good prospects for the Barbados team and the West Indies team.
In fact, just before you go on, I'm sure you're going to be locked on with the Trident's playing tonight. Yeah. Just been told that they're going to be playing three spinners and two left arms seamers versus the Kingsmen. In fact, the team is De Kock, Brandon King, Zachary Carter, Shafrian Rutherford, Kevin Anderson, Rivaldo Clark. Chris Green is the captain, Godish Moti, Daniel Sams, Rahman, and who else do we have there? Ramon Simmons. That's the Barbados team.
Wow.
Yes. And of course, I see Vital Laws is in the Kingsman team. Jadeer Blades from Barbados came out. Paul is there. Roblin Paul, the captain. Andrew Russell. Kirk McKenzie is there as well. So yeah, Casey Carty. So we should be looking forward to some good action there in about, 15 minutes time, Randolph?
Yeah, I must say the coach of the 19 team was quick to point out that this is a developing team and, you know, they're young players who are playing for the first time. And he never really spoke to the fact that about winning the tournament, you know, because he said there was a lot of young players there. So he was not boasting about that. But if they should come out on top or second,
right,
I think they would have done really well. But those two young ladies, I enjoy the captain. I was wondering, I listened to her speaking, and I
Spoke very well. Very, very well indeed.
Very well.
Yes.
But you put the icing on the cake. When she said that she's in England.
Yes.
She resides in England and go to school there. Mm.
She's got she's got a double barrel name, Herbert Mears.
Right.
Mm.
But you would not, because I was wondering, because I'm sure I heard about Mears captain in his side.
Yeah.
But you stopped short at this Herbert.
Yeah.
I thought that it had me at a loss.
Yeah, Herbert Mears.
I must say, though, that if I could, I know I would get some stick for this.
Yes.
That the people, we always be highly critical of the colonial system and England and all such like. But it is there where persons develop and do well in whatever they're going to do, either it's in sports, academics, whatever the case may be, and not in Africa.
Well, that's an interesting point. Thanks for talking to me, because when we come back from a commercial break, I just want to ask Roland Butcher, who would have had that experience. I mean, he left Barbados as a very young man living there deep in rural Barbados in East Point. And he went to England and actually made the England side. And some people are critical, saying you shouldn't go to England. And maybe it'll be interesting to find out from Roland what that experience like. We almost shut out now. Very few of our players actually go to England. But let's pause for our business calls. Mason and guests, broad association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, it's got another 15 minutes or so left on the show. Roland, that experience, you left Barbados. How old were you when you left Barbados, Roland Butcher, to go to England?
And when I left Barbados, I was 13 and a half.
Mm.
And obviously, I would have only just played junior cricket in St. Philip. As you know, at St. Catharines, very few matches. Most of it would have been informal cricket. So while I may have had the basics to start with here, really the development of my game was all done in England. And I, you know, England as a finishing school is second to none. You know, you've got different, you know, you play on a different pitch almost every session. You know, the pitch can perform differently session by session. You've got different weathers, different types of bowlers. All of those things help you develop your game, you know, for the higher level. You know, that's missing quite badly in the Caribbean right now because of England's policy with the managed migration. As I just said to you, their policy right now doesn't help West Indian players actually get into England to perform. You know, if you think back to when I was playing, I mean, you had the likes of, you know, Sir Viv, Curtly, Joel, Collis King, you know, Michael Holden, all those guys were playing league cricket, you know, which is not county cricket. They started playing league cricket, developed their game, and then went into county cricket. So, you know, we're missing a big trick. It's going to be much harder for our players now because of the policies that they have now. It's not the ECB. It's a government policy, something called managed migration, of which I just mentioned there, even for the first-class players, having to play 5 games. And with our diminishing number of matches played, it's going to become even harder for our players to develop. We cannot, as much as we would like to believe, our players cannot develop to the standard of international cricket by staying in the Caribbean and not experiencing anywhere else. You know, you have to get out. And England, because of its seasons, the way things change is almost hour by hour. You know, is a perfect training run.
Okay, thanks, Roland. We're going to try to see. We just had Wayne Lewis on the line. We're going to try to get him back. Some kind of atmosphere there in Jamaica. The news coming out is, well, I mean, earlier I spoke to my friends in Jamaica that the weather was absolutely Brilliant. I don't know if we can actually speak to Wayne. Wayne Lewis, of course, the former Jamaica cricketer. Wayne, how are you this evening? Hello to you.
Hello to you, Andrew.
Yes, okay. I imagine that you're at Sabina Park.
I am actually, yes, I am.
Okay, what's the atmosphere there like?
Well, the atmosphere is exciting. I mean, you know, it's very intense. We've not had a CPL in Jamaica for quite some time, and people are very excited. And, you know, they are coming out in their numbers to support Jamaica. Kings Men, actually. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of anticipation and about the team and, you know, people coming back to witness it once more. So, yes, things are going well.
Okay, and what's the crowd like now? You're going to be starting very, very soon. A big crowd at Sabina already, or not quite?
I wouldn't call it a big crowd, but the people are coming in. I think that there's some issues, if you ask me, with the ticketing system that they're using now. You know, I don't think people can go and actually buy, you know, tickets. They have to maybe do other stuff online, and I think that is creating some kind of problems. And I anticipate that maybe the reason why we're not seeing more persons actually at the game so far because of maybe that very reason. So they need to sort that out. But yeah, the people are coming in. It's a nice crowd, nice atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, especially the older folks, they don't normally go online. They want to go to, say, Sabina Park and go to a booth and buy their tickets.
Exactly. People just want to go and buy their physical tickets so they can walk in. That's what they're accustomed to as well.
Yes. But
this new system now, this ticketing system, and it's quite arduous, really. It's kind of very, very difficult to get on. My wife does it for me because I don't have the patience to go through all that. Download it, set up the app, and go through it. It's very problematic, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect a big crowd tonight at Sabina?
Honestly, I do. I don't think that the fact that they lost their first game would affect, you know, the crowd support. You know, Jamaicans, we like to support winners.
Yes.
They're winning, they're not coming. They're not coming. But at the moment, you could see the North Stand is nicely populated. The Georgia stand is sparsely populated, but the crowd is building. The Kingston Cricket Club side, nice crowd, but you know this side is a members club.
Yes.
On the moon and the other side, it's been populated quite nicely. I anticipate that maybe by the start of the play, or maybe the first hour of the game, that a lot more persons definitely will be in the stadium.
And the weather's good there in Jamaica?
I'm telling you, normally they said you want rain, just say cricket. But we have had a dry spell for quite some time now, so the weather is perfect.
Mm-hmm, I see. You got an idea as to what it would cost the ordinary Jamaican to get into Sabina in terms of costs of the tickets? Do you have an idea of that?
Yeah, I think it's something like between $1,200 and $1,500, which is $1,500 Jamaican is pretty much around 10 US, somewhere thereabout. And yeah, I think that's basically the cost.
I see. And the Kingsmen looking good?
Well, there's been a lot of planning. I mean, it's the first time they hosted. And therefore, I mean, I'm sure they'll have issues that they have to work on. But so far, so good. I mean, we are playing our role as we own the Sabina Park pitch. You know, Kingston Cricket Club actually owns the cricket field, I mean, our stand. So we have to negotiate a position because they don't want it to take full ownership of it. And there was some side pushback there, but we worked it out. So we are able to facilitate our membership. But other than that, everything is going great.
Just before you go, on another note, do you have a CEO in place now? As you know, the last one was given his marching orders. Do you have a CEO at the Jamaica Cricket Association, Wayne? Can you tell me?
Mr. Andrew Mason, I am not a member of the Jamaica Cricket Association. And I know you have Dr. Bennett's number. I know you have Mr. Fritz Harris' number. And I'm sure you have maybe other numbers for other persons working at the JCA who are part of the board, of which I am not. I am a senior selector, and that's as far as I go. So I have absolutely no answers to give you on that because I really don't know.
Oh, well.
That's a long answer.
I thought by now that something would have been put in place. You agree, though, that something should have been put in place? CEO?
I am not answering anything like that. Andrew, I'll keep my opinion on this one to myself. I have to be careful when you ask me these questions, you know, because I am the secretary of WIPA. I represent.
Right.
We don't get into politics.
Okay.
And so you're always tracking me in that direction. But
no, not at all. No, it's not. I mean, if there's a CEO, there's one. If there's no CEO, then there's no CEO. I mean, that's simple, isn't it?
Well, I've not been advised advice. I don't know that they can appoint a CEO. If you make the CEO redundant, I don't know they can reappoint a new person.
Okay, I see.
There'll have to be adjustments.
Just before you go, can I ask you any reaction to what's happening in relation to Alzari Joseph and Darren Sammy?
If I even attempt to answer that, whatever answer I give you, it could be determined that that would be a terminological inexactitude. And on that basis, it makes no sense I even attempt that. I'm in Jamaica, why you ask?
Well, it's public knowledge.
Going forward, you'll have to wire.
Yes.
At least 100,000 years that has to mind. Just to try and have some legal representation if I should fault that one of your requests.
No, not really. I mean, you're the secretary of WEPA. And is Alzaria Joseph a member of WEPA?
No, he's not a member of
WEPA. Okay, I see. But don't you have an opinion on it, though?
That doesn't mean that WEPA does not have interest in it. Because
okay.
The precedent, you could say, maybe I've been set, and therefore we are very mindful of what transpired, but we do have an opinion on it.
I see. But do you consider the matter to be a bit unfortunate? It's in the public domain.
All right, let me repeat myself again.
Yes.
And you can Google what I meant. If I should attempt to give you an answer, whatever answer I give you,
yes,
could be the term a terminological inexactitude.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I'm making up stuff.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave it right there. Always good to hear from you, Wayne, my good friend. So you expect a big crowd at Sabina Park for the Trident's Kingsman game. Is that what you're saying? And the mound as well?
It's building nicely, and I expect a BS. Come Saturday, I think we'll have a bumper crowd, especially the sort of the ticketing system.
Right.
Definitely will have a bumper crowd any other day, but definitely Saturday, I think.
All right. Well, we're going to.
It depends on how well they do it. They win these two games.
Yes.
You might have problems getting into the stadium
on
Saturday because people are going to be piling in. So let's hope that happens.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it right there. Thanks very much indeed, Wayne Lewis. Always a pleasure to have you, Mason, and guest. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
My pleasure. Same thing to you and your co-host.
Yes, your good friend Dr. Ford. He's with us. I know that he's your good friend. Thanks, Wayne. All right, interesting discussion there. We just got another minute or so left on the show. Always good, Basil. You got 30 seconds. Did Wayne say anything that would have piqued your interest, Basil?
No, Wayne was dodging your question. we could not get any definitive because yes, we the cricketing consuming public would like to get a better hold as to the dispute between Sammy and Joseph, and well, the one thing that Wayne did, we now know that Alzari is not a member of WEPA.
Yeah, yeah.
I had not known that.
And you would have expected me to ask that question. All right. All right. But we got to leave it there. Very much indeed. Roland Butcher, see you when you come home. Thanks to Philo Wallace. Thanks to Dr. Ford for asking some very interesting questions, of course, of our very good friend there, the minister in St. Vincent. Those questions are unanswered. Thanks to Wayne Lewis for coming and talking to us on Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
Looking to refresh your troll finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior texture surfaces. Available in Coral Stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
The winning sound of Network Sports.